Hear ye, hear ye, ladies and gentlemen, and all genders in between. Gather around the internet, for the Infotainment Podcast is about to begin. That's right, folks. You have your internet radio dial frequency set to the Infotainment Podcast. Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your round mound podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. And this is the last stop podcast shop on your internet dial. I almost didn't do this tonight because I've had so many noises start up. First, it was the train horns, then it was somebody vacuuming, and then it was police sirens. So this has been a tough night to start podcasting. But first thing I'd like to start off with is I got a video clip that has been around the internet. I don't know if you've seen it, but I just saw it a few day or two ago. It was on a frozen lake, minus whatever, it was cold as hell out. And there was a fox and a wolf that were fighting on a lake. And they were frozen stiff. And the fox had its mouth open like it was ready to take a bite at the coyote, I think it was. And they were both frozen solid. And the people taking the video swear it was not stuffed animals or anything like that. And the one was, the fox was wounded the most, it looked like. Looked like there had been a blood stain there, and looked like one of his paws was turned down backwards. Looked like his paw was broken. And it looks, the coyote, wolf, whatever, was tipped over, and they stated that the wind did that. They did not set them up or nothing like that. They probably could have. But it looks like the fox has got the worst end of that deal. And I stated underneath that post, which I shared with my friends, that they should try an experiment and bring those two animals, frozen animals, into their warm house just to try a cryogenics experiment. But I suppose it would start to smell fairly rapidly. But that is due to the that has been causing so many strange things to happen here in Minnesota and the Midwest and everywhere else that are experiencing these extremely cold temperatures and wind chills. My next story kind of is related to the first story involving animals. Well, people dressed as animals. Couple having sex outdoors in goat costumes gets accidentally shot by hunters. A couple's attempt to spice up their sex life with some kinky role play turned horribly wrong last night as they were both shot by hunters while having sex in the costumes. 30-year-old James Bryant and 51-year-old Janet Smith, Cougar Town here, were wearing disguises and engaging in loud sex in the Kamai Ranges. I don't know where in what country this was, but yeah, it's probably not the safest area to do that in. If they're in the woods when it's hunting season or whatever. When they were spotted by local hunters. Jared Burns and his son were patrolling their property with rifles in hand, looking for signs of goats that may have awakened early from their hibernation when he saw the hairy creatures. It looked like a couple of goats mating like crazy. They were standing over 6 foot tall and kept growling and moaning. They really looked like wild creatures. Mr. Burns and his son were convinced they were facing a couple of goats, folkloric creatures said to be hairy, upright walking, ape-like creatures that dwell in the Northern Ireland wilderness. Yeah, that part of it I do not buy. I mean, if I saw a goat costume standing straight up, that might be a red flag not to shoot at them. I know there aren't any deer around, but this is great territory. We really thought this one was one of our chances to kill one and finally prove they exist. Oh, I think that's just to cover up some stupidity there. The two men fired 8 shots, hitting Mr. Bryant 3 times in the shoulder, the leg, and the abdomen, and hitting Mrs. Smith 2 times in the thigh and forearm. Fortunately, the couple started screaming and swearing after getting shot, helping the hunters realize their mistake and call 111. Well, that kind of says it's a different area. Jared Burns and his son fired 8 shots in the couple's direction, believing they were a couple of mating goats. The adventurous couple were transported to Tauranga Hospital, where doctors were able to stabilize their condition and no longer fear for their lives. The Tauranga police have opened an investigation to determine the exact circumstances of the incident, and criminal charges could eventually be filed against the negligent hunters. That's just an unbelievable story. Despite the unfortunate accident, Jared Burns remained convinced that goats and deer do exist in the Kamai Ranges and says he won't hesitate to kill next time. Yeah, I don't think a statement like that is going to help your case. As far as this goes, I mean, they probably didn't observe the couple that long before they shot. There is, like, one position I can imagine that they saw that would elicit shooting. I mean, if the one of them was standing straight up, it's like, no way, find out first. And also the couple's mistake, dressing up as goats. That is, I mean, I can see the teacher-student thing, cheerleader thing, nurse deal. What else? But not that in the privacy of your own home. I'm sure there are people who do worse as far as costumes go. If you're going to cosplay like that, do not do it in the forest during hunting season. Do not dress up like goats or deer and so forth. So that was an extremely odd story. The good Lord knows that I'm usually not one for complaining, but this has been one hellish winter. The extreme cold and the extreme amount of snow. And of course, there goes my phone. And also, I'm more inclined to insert a joke where I'm more quick at that than I am when somebody says hurtful or insulting things to me. And there have been a few occasions that I should have said, well, F you and don't effing talk to me like that. Long since water under the bridge. It wouldn't help now because probably long since forgotten. And then the effect to promote harmony And usually I'm in shock more at the time when they say these things and do not think of the right words to say at that time. But the complaining thing, my mother said this once after we had come back here and endured several winters. She said she wished she'd stayed in Missouri. And this winter, I would agree. Behind my apartment building, there is a mound of snow that is essentially equal to the rooftop of the house behind it in height. And that eventually, once spring does spring here, which will probably be May, June, somewhere in there. The way this winter has gone, there we are going to have a nice swimming pond. Hopefully these places have several sump pumpers. I wonder how much flooding is going to go on all over the Midwest. And I do have this thing from Facebook that was posted by a good friend of mine, CJ, who's been on the program several times and contributed several stories. He posted that Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, is currently in Hawaii awaiting extradition to Minnesota on fraud and lying charges, according to his lawyers. Well, I think he, instead of shooting at goats, I think groundhogs should be exterminated. And maybe they should cancel that a stupid celebration they have out east. We're going to forget about it. Okay, now we're going to talk about adult cartoons. And this is about the Family Guy, Simpsons, and South Park. I mean, I haven't watched The Simpsons, really. And I think the last episode I remember watching was when Homer was trying to get on disability by eating his way to fatness to get on to get on disability. In this article, it says that Family Guy is 20 years old. I did not know that much about that. And if you're talking about explicit topics, they have had episodes where they've inferred that, well, bestiality, basically, having Brian the dog in bed with a human woman. And this author tried to figure out which adult cartoon of the 90s and 2000s had the biggest impact from Family Guy to Futurama. And here's what this guy came up with. Nowadays, cartoon comedies made for adults are so common, from Archer to BoJack Horseman to Rick and Morty. There's another one I caught very early, in like 3 or 4 in the morning, that took on every black stereotype that you could possibly imagine. They show these black guys riding down the street, and it was just like pimpin' hoes all over the street. And they were moving into a white area of the community, and some extremely white woman came over with a fruit basket, and she didn't have apples, but she gave them iPads, and it's kind of like they were looking at them like, what do we do with these? Oh, man. And then they tackled the thing about black people can't swim or won't swim or whatever, and they showed a black guy jumping in a pool and he'd sink into the bottom of the pool. Now, if you have ever watched the show Adam Ruins Everything on the True TV network, he has talked about that issue and says that when pools were first developed for cities, they were segregated. So black people didn't go to them. And that's one of the reasons a lot of them don't or haven't taken up swimming, and they took up basketball. So, which was kind of stupid for the day, but the pools were segregated early on when they first became available in cities. Well, and it's easy to forget that the genre was once considered a subversive underdog, fighting to get jokes aired and jockeying with live-action sitcoms for premium time slots. In 1992, George Herbert Walker Bush publicly denounced The Simpsons, and today's Ted Cruz won't shut up about loving the show Family Guy, which was once too taboo for family-friendly sponsors, but was selling Coca-Cola by 2008. But these shows were not just gradually accepted by a changing world. They changed the world, probably more than you realize. I wanted to find some ways to quantify the impact of the major cartoons of the 90s that had on society. This means Futurama, King of the Hill, The Simpsons, South Park, and Family Guy. So I did the best to tally up instantly recognizable catchphrase, meme, and IRL impact created by each show. These programs, the Big Three, Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park, in particular, literally altered the way people talked and later how they posted online. But kids parroting Cartman lines on the playground doesn't leave as much of an impact on the world as the attitude towards politics and environmentalism South Park helped create. So for each of these items, I assigned a point value from 1 to 10, which resulted and was a monumental, subjective, exhausting, and hopefully exhaustive process that at least gave me a math-based argument for which cartoon was the most important of our lifetimes. And one cartoon's massive reach did exceed all others. Which one? I mean, The Simpsons has been on since Fox started, hasn't it, pretty much? It's been on the longest, so I would assume it would be that one, but maybe I'm wrong. You'll have to scroll down to find out, because if I did all this work, you little ingrates can at least skim this article. Buckle up, buckaroos, this is going to take a while. Yeah, I would assume so. Futurama, I was on. I watched some of it, but I did sort of like Bender. Starting in reverse chronological order with the series that premiered on March 28, 1999, Futurama was an instant hit with the nerd crowd for its use of actual science fiction references and formulas in its sci-fi comedy, a mechanism that directly influenced later shows like The Big Bang Theory and Rick and Morty. I do have a story about The Big Bang Theory. I saw Macaulay Culkin on another podcast, and he was approached like 3 times to be on The Big Bang Theory. And man, the way he justified potentially getting millions of dollars if he was any good at the part they gave him was that, he wouldn't have enjoyed doing it. You got to be kicking, in private, you got to be kicking yourself in the ass for not taking that role. Just seeing the name Chuck Lorre, and as far as the production goes for that show, should make you want to take that role. But he said he didn't want to do it. So, and then he did have a good comment. Well, how much money is too much money? I mean, does Oprah and Dr. Phil need a podcast? Do they need more exposure? Do they need the money? Maybe J.K. Rowling should start a Harry Potter podcast. I think she needs some more walking around money anyway. Futurama's prominence was at its peak during the impact font image macro era, which still stills of a skeptical Fry. Shut up and take my money, Fry 2, or why not Zoidberg? We're still in vogue, still in occasional use today. Are mesmerized, hypnotoad, and Professor Farnsworth saying, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Oh, +3. So it looks like it got 10 points. I'm not going to read the point thing here, but I'll go through that at the end, I guess. The above lament often seen without an accompanying image brings us to the phrases and words the show added to the vernacular. Hermes gave us exclamations like sweet zombie Jesus. Hermes reminds me of another topic that was covered on True TV by Adam, what is his last name? Conover. Adam ruins everything. And he says that 90% of the people in the world actually have herpes, and it is not as big a deal as people thought or still think today. It was mainly during a scare of sexually transmitted disease during the early 80s. But I did not know that 90% of people actually have herpes. You can check that out. It's on that show, Adam Ruins Everything. Let's see. Hermes gave us exclamations like sweet zombie Jesus and my manwich and the canned meat company's solo source of relevance in decades. Benders bite my shiny metal ass. Mischievous spin on the word neat. Yeah, baby, I know it. And insistence that he'll make his own version of a thing with blackjack and hookers. I don't have as much portability to everyday conversations as a professor's. Good news, everyone. Technically correct. The best kind of correct. Futurama also offered ammo for when we need to point out that X does not work that way, or something is bad and they should feel bad. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense. I didn't spend a lot of time watching Futurama. The show also invented a brand new math theorem for an episode that doesn't have much application outside of brain-switching scenarios, introduced us to snoo-snoo, the term for occasional fatal sex with a towering Amazonian woman, a terrible and regretful way to die. And thanks to one particularly sad episode, a whole generation now can't hear Connie Francis's "Will Wait for You" without tearing up. Okay. Well, Family Guy, maybe I'll learn some of these things that I've heard before. Gaining a legion of fans in its first three seasons, Family Guy did not go quietly into that good night when it was initially canceled in 2003. Fox gave the first 50 episodes to Cartoon Network, and those episodes helped carry the Adult Swim programming slate through its early years. Family Guy also sold a ton of DVDs, helping to fuel the series' DVD boom of the era and get other shows on this. The show is so popular in death that Fox revived it in 2005. Not only did this result in another 14 and counting seasons, and McFarlane sister series like The Cleveland Show and American Dad, it made cancellation no longer a permanent death sentence. Even though you touch yourself at night, the series' primary contributions to the comedy landscape were its popularization of the cutaway gag and introducing Adam West to a whole new generation. Mr. Batman. The show also had a thing for eclectic musical non sequiturs and gave Tim Conway. Oh, I actually made a goof there. I remember Tim Conway better than I do Conway Twitty, the B-52s, Rock Lobster, and the Trashman song Surfin' Bird, a brief renaissance. On the other hand, Family Guy is unique in its ability to kill an internet meme by merely featuring it on the show, a phenomenon known as the Family Guy effect. Though he killed many, Peter Griffin's created a few memes of his own. He let us know what grinds his gears, said, "Oh my God, who the hell cares?" to boring or irrelevant information and engaged in an epic war that provided a nice vomiting gif. He also hurt his knee in a way that when you emulate it, takes some of the sting away. Pepperidge Farm remembers that season 2 joke like it was yesterday. I don't remember that one, but Peter's trademark laugh, holy crap, endless whoa, whoa, and whoas, and adaptable shut up Meg weren't the only lines that made it off the screen. Chris's I need an adult is perfect for escaping awkwardness. Stewie's early era what the deuce and victory is mine catchphrases evolved over time into less diabolical bits like his mispronunciation of the when they put these scores in here makes it hard to read at the beginning of words like whip or you're drunk, you're sexy, tete-a-tete with Brian. I'm surprised they let the stuff with Brian the dog and the human woman in bed and another sort of insinuation of bestiality through, but they do. You can get away with a lot more in cartoons than you can in an actual sitcom. Well, some of the things. I was watching Trading Places on IFC, and Jamie Lee Curtis has a famous scene where she goes topless. I thought, surely they're not going to show that. But they did. I was shocked. And made me wish I had that on DVD. But let's see. Quagmire's giggity giggity. Yeah, I've heard that.
I've decided to end that article and move on to something else and let you make up your mind which adult cartoon has changed pop culture effects on it. But I do know I do have a impersonation of a cartoon that was not mentioned in the article. But here it goes. Cornholio. Bungholio. I need TV for my bunghole.
He said bungholio.
Now I think it is time to call Red Alert and warp drive this to the interwebs. I would like to thank you, and especially you, for listening to my 94th episode of Infotainment. You can tweet my Twitters at RandyPodcaster. Check out my blog, randyms1.blogspot.com. My Infotainment Facebook page. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com and all that good stuff. So we're on our way to episode 100, and we'll have to do something special for that. May you have a pleasant day tomorrow and a happy ending tonight. Bye-bye, folks.